Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today I'm pleased to have on Sean. Let's see, Sean.
Fisher.
What's your last name? I'm sorry.
Fisher.
That's right. I'm sorry. Sean is a filmmaker, and he has produced a wonderful DVD called 2012 Metaphysica. Are you ready to be shifted? And it's the subtitle is the last 2012 documentary you will ever need to see. I had the pleasure of watching this, and I think it's a great overview of some of the mysteries and some of the paradigm shifts that we're going to be going through, or we're presently going through, because we're very close to 2012. And I think Sean's done a great job putting this all together. Sean, you had done this kind of as a journey, your own personal journey. Would you like to tell people about a little bit about how you got out of corporate America and onto this path?
It's not easy to escape corporate America. But if you want to, there's a way. I've always been kind of an independent business person anyway, but certainly a part of that business world that is functioning in corporate America. And long story short, was going through some changes in my life that I couldn't fully explain. Things were happening, certain challenges and crises, and kind of an inner questioning was going on in terms of the direction of my life, and how that would play out practically, and how I would handle the activity of my life and business from day to day based on these new feelings I was having about wanting something deeper or more as a part of my everyday life. And then that was kind of coupled with an observation of the world. I've always been kind of a philosopher at heart, and noticed that the world itself was going through many accelerated changes, which I think everybody notices. But I just started to question it deeper and put it in terms of what was going on in me, and these kind of rapid-fire changes happening in me as well. And I began to realize that there's something definitely going on that has never happened before on planet Earth. And I didn't know where it was taking me or eventually the entire human race. I wanted to know, but I had no idea. And it seemed by watching the news that there were a lot of potential threats in terms of where it was taking us as a human race, this new destiny that seemed to be unfolding. There was all these incredible developments like the internet, technology, science, medicine, and all these incredible things that were happening that we could definitely say were positive and exciting. And at the same exact time, we were having unprecedented events that were not positive, such as 9/11. And there's certainly global warming and all these different things that were putting humanity in a crisis point. Where it just seemed like something was about to happen. I had that feeling. And this began to spill over into my dreaming world, and I began to have dreams and all kinds of subtle changes happening in me. And one dream in particular, which I document in the film, just made me really want to look deeper, finally start reading some books and investigating this. And I think when I began doing that, the idea for the film started to emerge. That's how it began. And as you remember in the film, that's how we opened the film, is explaining that.
So what year was that?
Probably my whole life. No,
your whole life. I mean, what was the crisis that you had in the film about your business, where you were breaking off from your business to go on the road?
Well, that was more of a gradual perspective. That was years ago. It took me about 4 years to make this movie. When I embarked upon the project or the journey a little over 4 years ago, I had a premise in mind. I had an idea of what I was after, but it was almost like, you can kind of see it, but it's not very clear.
Right.
So I went out and began just with the encouragement of some friends, I went out and began making this movie exploring these new changes in consciousness, these new ways of looking at the world and our lives within the world that, you know, eventually I came to call metaphysia, mm-hmm. which we talk about in the film. And I just went out to meet people, meet the best minds, the authors, the mm-hmm. teachers, the lecturers, who were putting themselves forward as authorities in this new field that was emerging. And it's, you know, I hate to lump it all into one quick, simple term like that, because it's not that simple. There's so many different people doing different things, and in a lot of ways their work doesn't cross over. But in this fundamental way it does, which is it's a new kind of conscious approach to science or spirituality or medicine or whatever. And that's what I began doing. And in the midst of that, I had to, of course, struggle with my business and all my responsibilities
right.
to the world, which I had been doing for over a decade by that point.
Right.
So that's when it began, is that polarity between how do you engage upon or follow the path that's calling to you, the new path that you're feeling you really need to pursue, while at the same time you still have to handle those responsibilities that root you in the world that you're used to. How do you deal with that? And I didn't know. All I knew is that I had to eventually follow that higher path, that higher calling, whether it cost me all my money, time, and even potentially my career. It became a gradual willingness to
mm-hmm.
accept and allow that. And I think, you know, you can confirm that or not. That's what I try to document in the film, is that process that I go through.
Well, I think everybody has a path similar to this. Carolyn Mace actually talks about this, that you either have to think you're going to lose everything, which is relationships, you know, traditional jobs, sometimes even going to financial ruin or the threat of bankruptcy, or you actually have to do it, or you have to think you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like stepping out in faith. You had your calling to step out, and I was instructed to quit my job. At the time I was, you know, making $400,000 a year as a plastic surgeon, and I just quit. And nobody could understand why I did that. But I spent 5 months doing spiritual work, and just like you had your Native American phone call, you know, they say that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I had a clairvoyant that was told to find a surgeon named Susan, so she called around to all the hospitals, and she came to me with Barbara Brennan's Hands of Light book and said, "You're a healer, you need to get started." So, you know,
you're
had this
me.
Mysterious person come into your life, and I had this person come into my life as a teacher, and I ended up studying with her in a group of clairvoyants during this 5 month period. And then I emerged from that with new skills. I had what Carolyn Mace would say, a vertical connection rather than just a horizontal connection.
Right.
With a horizontal connection, we're really trapped in third-dimensional reality.
Right.
We have a certain set of rules, and you have to abide by them. You know, if you don't return your phone calls in your business, you know, bad things are going to happen, that kind of thing.
Right.
But when you're when you get the vertical connection, you all of a sudden have a huge amount of more information, and the rules are different. And I think that's what your film is talking about, is that transformation that I believe all of us who are actually going to, you know, go through this, you know, shift of, it's a planetary shift. It's not just a shift of the human race.
Mm.
I think that's part of what we're going through, and your film really helps explain that.
Thank you very much. I didn't know your story, and that's fascinating. Really, it is. And it's amazing because I get to hear these kinds of stories so often now,
mm-hmm.
having produced this film and connecting
right.
with people like you, and it really just blows me away. You know, when I began making the film, I had no idea. You know, of course, I didn't know I didn't know this was going on. I didn't know this is where I would end up, and I certainly didn't know that there were, you know, however many thousands of people or hundreds of thousands
mm-hmm.
of people on Earth going through a similar experience.
Right.
So in some sense, the film project was more in tune with the collective energy that was
mm-hmm.
On the planet that I was just tuning into. and this is my own unique expression of it. And luckily for me and what I'm learning now for lots of other people, I captured it on video so that we have something now we can all look at and say, okay, yeah, this makes sense to me, not because it's about Sean and his journey, mm-hmm. but it resonates with something that I'm going through. I can understand, like you said, I had this this teacher come in and shift my entire life in a whole
right.
new direction. And it's vertical, and I love that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just more of the same sequence of living that just, mm-hmm. like you're going down a different path merely. It's like it's coming from a completely different place that most people are not used to or familiar with. It's wonderful, you know, but it is overwhelming, too. It's like a download of information. And,
energetically, it's a real challenge, you know.
It's a challenge.
It's an energetic challenge because you feel like you're being just filled up with energy and information. And, you know, then you start getting messages from everywhere. And I want to talk about that a little bit later, your snake message, because I have that all the time. I have animals just come and plop themselves. I was actually going to the hospital to take care of somebody. I was probably going, I don't know, 45 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. And this bird flies in front, plops itself down in front of me in the road, and I stop, and then it looks at me, and then it flies off, and I go around the corner, and there's a speed trap. I mean, it is so weird.
Wow.
It is just so weird. The whole universe will come and help you.
Yes. Yes, and that, as you know, having seen the film Metaphysia 2012, that this is the kind of thing I tried to document in my film, where
yes.
these encounters with the natural world.
Tell
and the
snake story. That's great.
The reason I did all this is because, mm-hmm. as you know, I had a Native American teacher.
Right.
His name is Chief Sonny Reyna. He's a peace chief from the Yaqui Carrizo Nations, and he came into my life unexpectedly. Seemingly out of the blue, and it's documented in the film just like that, and ended up becoming a guide or a mentor of mine throughout the film. And I don't even think he knew, to be honest with you, what his role was. He was just doing it because that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, and as he learned later by seeing the full story, he was a guide and really brought me into that Native American world, but that other way of looking at the world that the Native American culture has preserved in all of its best sacred places still,
right.
which is that, and it's a, kind of like a shamanic view or consciousness that they maintain, which is that everything in nature is alive and full of signs and communications and relationship to you. It's an interaction, communication between you and nature and you. And so, in Western consciousness, we're taught that the sign of an animal coming into our life or crossing our path is really just something in the way, you know, because we have to get to work.
Don't hit it, huh?
But in Native American culture, the sacred mm-hmm. aspects of Native American culture or any culture that practices true shamanism,
mm-hmm.
An animal crossing your path is a major sign. It is a mystical, magical moment where you realize for a moment you are alive in a field of intelligence
mm-hmm.
that you're not generating. You're a part of it,
right.
and it humbles you. And Chief Sonny Reyna talks about this need to get humbled for the Western world because that's one of the main problems he sees us having. And so I'm going through this journey exploring 2012 and this new consciousness, but doing it a little bit reluctantly in the film at first because I'm still coming from that old world view and not sure if I should trust everything I'm hearing or whether I should risk everything I've already established in that old world, my career and all those types of relationships.
Right.
And that becomes the initial inner battle that I go through until eventually I get a sign. And I don't want to talk too much about the signs in the film because I'm almost afraid, you tell me, I'm almost afraid if we tell some of the specific signs in too much detail, it may give it away, but I do encounter, or may spoil the experience for people,
mm-hmm.
I do encounter some animals, we'll say, or mm-hmm. beings from the natural world, that cross my path and are obvious signs to me, even in a skeptical point of view. When I first look at these, I can't deny the fact that this is a sign. It is an overwhelming communication from another intelligence to me about the path that I'm embarking on and the path, and confirming that path to me as well.
Right.
And it was electric to run into these animals, these beings, in the making of the film, while I'm going through this process of everything these people are telling me, trying to integrate and understand what does this mean? What does it mean for me, and what does it mean for the human race?
And I also wanted to say that when you encounter these animals, it's not just a chance encounter like you see a squirrel run across the road. It's not like that.
Exactly.
The animals react differently than they should. That's the thing that's interesting.
It's like the bird, right, that you were mentioning?
Yeah, the bird. A bird doesn't just fly in front of a car and land. I mean,
no.
And it doesn't. And
no.
The animals you interact, I mean, it wasn't a normal interaction. Because you can just see a deer on the side of the road or whatever, but the deer that interacts with me comes up within 6 feet of my car and looks at me for 10 minutes. This is absolutely not the behavior of a deer, and it's like right outside my door, you know, like I'm...
Absolutely.
These are not normal interactions.
And that has absolute meaning, In other words, the entire planet, the entire world is filled with this magic,
right.
This power, and it is ancient. We, on the human race, we've only been here a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and even that's debatable. Nobody really knows for sure anything about it. As soon as you move back in history to a certain degree, everything gets lost, and it becomes all speculative, and so there's this vast mystery that we cannot account for, nobody understands it, and Western consciousness has spent the last 200 plus odd years trying to simply categorize and define it and control it. And that is the problem. It's a separative motion in Western consciousness from the magic and the mystery of who and what we are and what this entire planet is, that the shamans and the Native American ceremonial leaders have never lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there shaking their heads, looking at us and what we're doing to the planet right now. And, you know, they're filled with the signs and powers of this divine and natural intelligence all around them.
Mm-hmm.
It's their way of life. They can't even think about doing the things that we do to the planet. They couldn't even think about doing those types of things. This is Mother Earth. This is their mother.
Right.
One of the Peruvian shamans who's in the film, his name is Huachan. He has a brief role, but it's significant. He talks about this as Pachamama, the
mm-hmm.
Mother Earth. And when we interviewed him, he removed his shoes and walked up this mountain in Arizona with me and the crew barefoot. With his family barefoot. And then I asked him at the top of this mountain where we filmed, I said, you know, by the way, why don't you wear shoes? It's kind of a rocky path up there. And, you know, and he looked at me for a moment like, okay, let me explain something to you, my friend, who has come from this other world. This is Pachamama. This is Mother Earth. She feeds me and my family. Right? So he had this incredible intimate relationship to the planet, to the Earth, that was sustaining him and his family with food and all kinds of natural guidance. And to him, it was only proper to walk barefoot, sacred, revere the Earth that he walked upon. And of course, at the end of my interview, I had absolutely no choice. I wanted and did take off my shoes. You probably don't remember, but if you watch the film ever again, you'll see me walking away from that interview in kind of like a cutaway, and I don't have shoes on. So it was really brilliant. It was an incredible feeling to walk down that mountain without shoes and just feel the earth.
Do you know that there's scientific information now, though? There's a book called Earthing.
Yes, I've heard about that.
There's scientific information now that you're getting ionic energy from the earth that is very, very good for eliminating the inflammation and the some of the common things that we have, you know, causing cancer and heart disease. So I've told many of my patients when I'm guided to that they should go out and put their feet on the earth, you know, in terms of for healing.
So important. So important, especially when you're sitting in front of a computer all day or you're on your cell phone so often.
And we all have, like, these tennis shoes and, I mean, leather shoes are okay, too. This energy will go through leather, but it will not go through plastics, you know, or rubber.
Which is most all other shoes.
Right. Leather shoes are kind of unusual now. We have these other shoes from China.
I go out every day. You know, I'm fortunate. I live in Las Vegas, and it's hard to find the earth out here. You know, it's kind of funny. Unless you go out into the desert, which you can do. But I've been fortunate enough to find a home lately where I have a patch of earth in the backyard with a tree and some grass. And I go back there every day for at least, you know, 20, 30 minutes and just take my shoes off and stand on the earth. And hopefully my neighbors aren't watching me because I probably look strange, but it
feels
so
good. There's a great
deal
of health benefits that have been documented. I've interviewed some of the doctors involved in that. But, you know, so basically this Peruvian shaman just knows intuitively what science is now discovering, that if we, you know, actually interact with the planet in a way we're guided to, we just get health, you know. I mean, it's just health benefits.
It's living in harmony with nature, which is what, you know, most indigenous cultures knew. It's just, it wasn't even something they had to think about. It's just part of life. They just come from an entirely different perspective that participates in life and doesn't separate out from life. And that's what Western consciousness, you know, I'm kind of just generalizing here, but Western society, Western culture, Western consciousness, at some point in history, and you could say it began with Descartes, or, you know, everybody has their view of when it began. I don't think anybody really knows, you know. Nobody knows historically exactly when it began. But we can certainly look at a trend in history where science took over, and this need to kind of look and observe the entire world and nature as something separate from you and your own consciousness. And therefore, once you're doing that, how you can control it, how you can manipulate it, became the fervor of science over time. And there's nothing wrong with that in one hand. Science is a great discipline. It's brought us technology and medicine, as you know. There's a lot of incredible positive things that have come out of science. And then, of course, we have the atom bomb, and there's all kinds of negative things.
Mm-hmm.
But fundamentally, when science becomes a philosophy, that's where it becomes a problem, when it becomes the meaning of life, and it defines what life, this incredible mystery, is. When science is trying to do that, which it's really doing in kind of a brainwashed way over Western society, it convinces people that everything is materialistic and that, you know, it's basically a big random event here on planet Earth. That philosophy creates an entire behavioral activity in all of society that's not healthy, like you were saying. It's separating itself from what is actually happening, what is really true. And people, I feel, are feeling this in their being. They're feeling like something is wrong. Whatever they've been taught and told and brought up with in our society doesn't feel right because they don't feel well, and they feel like there's something missing, something more. And then that takes place in all kinds of different ways. You're exploring it in your work. Other people are as well. And I got drawn into that exploration in this film, Metaphysia 2012, because I felt like there was something more. There had to be something more in terms of how to live in this world and how to relate to the planet and one another. And what I learned about 2012 in going on that journey was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating because what I learned is that 2012 is not a fixed, it certainly means something significant, but it doesn't have any kind of fixed outcome yet. It's not like this and this and this is going to go down and get ready, you know, and head for the hills. It's not exactly what these people told me, that there's an opportunity before us, there's a choice, and that the way we choose to live during this time, today, and every day forward, is a plays a huge role in determining what will transpire in 2012 and beyond 2012. And I'm just one of those people who took away something from this project, where I believe I'm kind of a realist, still grounded in the world, and I believe in the urgency of the time for all of us to do what you're doing, and I'm really, really inspired by your story to listen to our feeling and pursue it and connect with one another and share this experience with one another so we can inspire one another to move forward together. And that, I believe, is the great hope of this time and could spark something really remarkable on the planet where it's happening. The flip side to that, the urgency, is where it's being denied. Mm-hmm. I talk about this with people at times where people feel what you felt and what I felt, but actually deny that and don't listen to the calling. Mm-hmm. And then they try to stuff it away and continue on and even live in a way that's disrespectful to one another and the earth. Continue that. I believe there's consequences to that that we're seeing all over the planet, and I believe that that is only going to intensify those consequences,
yeah.
Or like a reflection I talk about in the film, or like mm-hmm. nature is reflecting back to the human race, just how far off the human path, off the path we are, the cosmic path. And I believe that ultimately it's benevolent. It's trying to reflect to us and give us an opportunity to, with a kind of free will, make a new choice, a new decision. Mm-hmm. But how many people are doing that? You know, I'm learning right now. I don't know. I certainly see lots of people when I enter this field, like your work, mm-hmm. And I meet conscious people, I see them everywhere. But then when I go out to the store here in Las Vegas, I don't see them anywhere.
Well,
so,
you know, not everybody's going to make it through in the same way. And you're right, everybody does have the choice. Like I was going to give the example of we're in an economic crisis right now, right? And it doesn't seem to be ending. So a lot of people have a lot of free time on their hands. I mean, because they're not working, right?
Right.
So these people have kind of been put in a situation where, whereas when I was told in meditation to quit my job, I went ahead and followed that higher guidance. And this was around 1990. And I quit my job. I went through the shift, and everything was really easy. But a lot of people now are being forced into quitting their job.
Right.
And they could, like you say, pick up your movie, pick up a number of books, and start on the path and have wonderful experiences, because certainly having a lot of free time is conducive to going through the shift, you know. I mean, it's hard to do both your regular job and learn about all this. So you could do that, or you could get extremely depressed and negative and go down the spiral that I see many people going down that eventually leads to either suicide, disease like cancer. You know, depression turned inward can cause cancer because of immune depression, or accidents. You know, they could be more prone to accidents because they don't want to be here. So no matter who you are creating. So you're either creating in the positive or the negative. And what I tell people is, are you spiraling up or are you spiraling down? And I believe that in the Bible where it says the wheat shall be separated from the chaff, that's the spiraling up and spiraling down that we're seeing right now. So everybody's either going down the drain and they're going toward a world that's not very conducive to living, you know, or it's going to be unpleasant, or they're spiraling up where they're connecting with these higher dimensions and realizing that the earth, the higher dimensional world, and the earth can provide everything they need, you know.
Mm.
They don't have to do anything themselves. They just have to pay attention and follow the path they're on. So I think
I like the way you said that.
That's just what I think is happening. And, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to make it, but that's okay. You know, there's a big recycling thing that occurs, so they don't really qualify.
Yeah, fortunately nature's got that covered, too.
That's right. So, you don't have to worry about that. And
I think it's
a
good point.
I think it's going to be a great price. You know?
You make a good point in that it's actually something I forgot, in that, you know, one of the benefits that I get to enjoy now, having made this film, is that when somebody sees the film who's feeling alone out
uh-huh.
there, and I've been getting feedback like this, the film has now sold in 7 different countries, so I'm getting
mm-hmm.
emails from people all over the place.
Right.
Some people who are way out, remote places on Earth that have felt alone. They're going through the same thing we're talking about, but they don't—they're
right.
not surrounded by any support.
Yeah, they don't have a New Age bookstore around the corner.
Exactly. And so, I mean, this is like Europe and all over the place. And so people were writing to me saying, you know, I felt like this movie was made for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably
I
was.
Feel alone. It feels so good. It probably was.
Yeah.
I feel so good that, you know, I know that this is happening, that I'm not alone anymore. And that is an incredible feeling when, you know, you put out your radio show or a book or something that gets out into the world and connects with somebody who's going through this same process and
right.
this gives them that feeling of support.
Yeah.
Because
true.
People are going through a lot of fear and struggle. That's part of the crisis of change.
It is.
And
it
then
is.
When you're in the midst of that fear and struggle, if you don't have those, you know, Native American teachers, for example, in my mm-hmm. movie, those people who come into your life and show you the higher path, if you don't have that, then you tend to react to the fear and challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to get more fearful and
right.
more separative.
Get paralyzed, really.
Paralyzed.
Yes.
Because you don't know what's going on. And, of course, then you flip on the television for a little comfort, and the news
just
barrages you with fear. So the whole thing is like this machine.
The sky is falling.
And then you go to Hollywood, you're like, okay, maybe 2012 will be different. And then they barrage
the
you with fear there, too.
So the whole thing. It was a pretty good
system,
movie, but it was it was an amazing movie, actually. I'd never seen so many things blown up. And
yeah, I mean, I watched... I probably should be careful as a filmmaker. I shouldn't say anything too
yeah,
strong.
Yeah, right, right.
Because I may work
it's,
with somebody
it's good
one
entertainment.
Day
it's good entertainment, but it's probably not realistic.
Yeah, it's good if you like to go to Disney World and you want to
right.
get on a ride and
very
go
intense,
and have some fun.
Very intense.
But that's the thing, is that it's
scared
when people
the Jesus
feel
out
that.
Of most people.
Yeah, it did.
It's
in
really
fact, weird. I have had some relatives and people that I know not want to watch my movie because they're scared.
More of the same.
They saw the Hollywood film and they're a little nervous about what mine is. And I keep telling
yeah.
them that, you know, that's not what my film's about.
Hollywood.
It's a hopeful vision.
Yeah.
But there's this vast machine of fear out there, and
there
that's
is.
What we're looking at. And that's what I was talking about earlier, is that if that doesn't begin to change, we're living on the planet together. So I agree with you. In that those who are connected to the higher path, if you will,
mm-hmm.
They're probably going to enjoy a much more fortunate destiny as we move into and beyond 2012, because they're resonating with this new energy that's on the planet. But that doesn't mean that we're not all connected still. We are.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of all in this at the same time together, which
right.
is the irony or the paradox of the whole situation. You have this core of humanity waking up to something greater and wanting to move with that and doing it, but then you have this mass of humanity that's largely asleep to the phenomenon and even denying it in many ways. And so you have an old world versus new world paradigm polarity, and this is the struggle. This is why you're seeing the positive and the negative so accentuated at this time. And there's a danger in that. Without playing upon the fear too much, there is a realistic way to view this, which is that there is a danger. And it just feels good to me to know that we're doing something about it. By offering this kind of light in the midst of the darkness, it's giving other people a chance to connect to this, what is greater, what is better, and not just struggle in their own fear and be manipulated by the fear consciousness that's out there. And I think that's the hope I have for the future, is that we're connecting with one another and we're having a real impact on the planet at this time, just by tuning in to what's really going on. And I don't know that anybody knows exactly what is going on. You know, there's a lot of theories. You've said it very well in this interview. It's a mystery on some level. You know, we don't know exactly where we're heading, but you can feel something positive about it when you tune in.
I like to think that everything is always just as it should be for the lessons that we're learning. For example,
right.
I don't know whether you knew this, but did you know that Pluto spends about 16 to 18 years in each sign before it progresses to the next one?
Yeah, I have studied quite a bit of astrology, yes.
So I'm Sag, I'm a double Sag, so I spent most of my life with Pluto and my sun. Which has been really fun.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so it moved into Capricorn, and it moved into Capricorn. Now, Pluto, just for our listeners, Pluto will reveal anything that is not, that needs to be changed or is not right.
And it will not hold back a single thing.
Right. So it's pretty dramatic. And so the first day that Pluto moved into Capricorn was that day in September 2008 when the stock market crashed because of the derivative myth.
Right.
I was just amazed. Everything is as it needs to be.
Yeah,
because the universe, and this time through astrology, which if you don't understand astrology, you need to understand it is scientifically based. It's not something that's just in the, you know, the newspaper that predicts your little history for, or your future for that day.
Right.
It's not that. It's not it's much different.
In fact, the entire 2012 phenomenon is built upon astrology.
Exactly. Exactly. But the first day, it brings the world economy down. And I'm going, oh, my God. But what did it do? It revealed all of these, you know, shell games that were going on with trillion-dollar derivatives, with people being greedy as hell, and it just exposed it all. God,
amazing.
You know, God bless the universe.
And we're only, you know, a couple years into that 16, 18-year cycle.
Exactly.
So we've got quite a bit of change coming here.
And so everything that is not right with the financial world and with government is going to be exposed. So during that time frame also, 9 FDA scientists blew the whistle on FDA administration for following politics rather than scientific studies, including silicone breast implants, which is what I wrote my book about. So thank God, now we're seeing that we've had all this corruption and all this crap going on.
Mm.
All this is exposing it. And, of course, these institutions are going to fall. They should fall.
And the institutions within your own mind are going to fall.
Right, exactly.
That's the big Pluto and Capricorn shift and the big...
Yeah.
What is startling, if you study astrology, and I've studied it quite a bit since making this film, is that there are all these cosmic markers here along the way as we're moving into 2012 and what's beyond 2012 that are remarkable when you look at the astrology. And it's just what you're talking about. It's like this year, I don't know about you, but 2010 has been a truly transformative year. Very, very challenging, in your face, especially over the summer. We had some very powerful cosmic energies at work.
Mm-hmm. We did. We had a couple.
And it was really difficult, but it was just amazing how much people were going through, myself included, and where it puts you so suddenly. You know, you're just in this whole new moment, and you begin to see, when you study the 2012 phenomenon and all of these ideas about a shifting consciousness at this time, and then you begin to translate that into the movement of the planets and astrology and the study of how this is all interconnected. And you start to see these shifting points that are happening week by week. The movement of the moon, the movement of the months, the movement.
Right.
You know, it's happening, and it's moving us there.
Yeah.
Not like 2012, we're just going to get slammed with something in December, and this whole thing is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just got a new book in called The Choice, which has to do with this. And in it, it looks at all the different prophecies. And it talks about the multidimensional things that are happening during 2012. I haven't read the book yet, but it really is something that is entering all sorts of different things. You know, it's creeping into, you know, The Event, which is now, you know, on TV, although it disappeared suddenly. I don't know where it went. But anyway, the ideas that we are a part of a greater whole. It's creeping in everywhere. I mean, you know, even into, you know, mainstream TV, which is really exciting.
We're waking up. You know, some of the people in Metaphysia, they'd say, Peter Russell and some other people in the film say, we're waking up now, or we have the opportunity to wake up now to who we really are, who we always have been, and
we
realize who we are.
Yeah, and also take responsibility. I like to say, as others have said, that we're acting like teenagers, irresponsible teenagers with the planet, you know. And now we've got an opportunity to graduate into adulthood and stewardship of the planet, which is really a thing you should be doing.
And in the Native American tradition,
anybody who does anything knows that you need to take care of where you live.
And in order to make that transition, you know, from being a teenager, kind of reactive and adolescent.
And it's all about me.
And it's all about you, the ego, and move into that adulthood. In the indigenous cultures, the Native American traditions,
mm-hmm.
all the way back to the Maya traditions and Maya cultures,
mm-hmm.
There was usually traditionally a rite of passage that you
right.
would go through as an adolescent moving into adulthood. And that rite of passage was a profound test of your
mm-hmm.
manhood, woman or man. And I believe that's exactly what we're going through right now.
It is
this kind of rite of passage that the shamans of the planet are laughing because they know what's happening, and they're
yeah.
watching us kind of run from it. And there's nowhere to run to. You're going to go through it. And you're going
that's
to realize the laws that are the inherent laws of nature, and you can come into complete harmony with the laws of nature, which do include that multidimensional intelligent consciousness that we are born out of and die back into, this cycle. And that multidimensional consciousness is the truth of who we are, that we're now on this planet just now waking up to and discovering. But it is ancient. It has always been known.
It's never went away. I mean,
never gone.
It was always there. It's just
we simply shut down from it.
Right. And people have to understand that there are no secrets. There are no getting away with things. There
right.
is no, you know, there is no hiding of agendas. It's
right.
all known. I mean,
all known.
To this multidimensional consciousness, it's known and there's consequences to it. So, you know, you'd be stupid to try to do something, you know, like the trillion-dollar derivative shell game, you know. It's going to be exposed and, you know, you're going to be blamed for or whatever consequences come forth once it is, you know.
That's the ego
it's
that you mentioned. That's the ego, and that's what Western consciousness is basically built upon,
yeah.
is the ego, right?
Yeah.
Which is everyone believes it's about themselves and it's for themselves, and, you know,
get
give me, give me, give me.
Get as much as you can, and, you know, you only go around once, so you don't have to worry about it. And
yep,
you
it's
know,
this whole...
there's no consequences to your actions. But there
exactly.
are.
Exactly. And that's why I love the Eastern traditions, because they're ancient and they're
right.
they talk about this idea that, you know, gets flip-flopped all over the place now, karma,
mm-hmm.
which is really just another term for saying what you do and what you
mm-hmm.
you know, what you put out, your intentions, your consciousness, you
mm-hmm.
actually get back.
Well, look at China versus Europe. I mean, I don't know if you've ever studied history, but Europe, I mean, almost every 50 to 100 years got wiped out, you know. No, really. They couldn't build anything because they were fighting so much that, you know, it would just get burned down again. Whereas China, how many times has China been invaded?
And doesn't that
you know,
seem,
you've got to wonder.
I mean, that's what's interesting, is, and
it
I
is.
Agree with you. It's hilarious. You're
yeah.
you're laughing, telling me about it because you're like, you're so
history.
Different. You know, you've been through so much. I've been through so much. And we're coming from with what I would call a greater perspective, a higher perspective
yeah.
on things. And then you look at war and fighting, you know, people
oh, yeah.
getting wiped out every 100
How
years
crazy.
On the planet. What were they thinking?
You can't build anything. Really?
You know,
destroy.
There's always going to be a little bit of tension, I think. That'll always
yeah.
be part of the
yeah.
game of evolution. But for when you really do study history, and even what's happening today in the Middle East and all over the planet, you can hardly believe that people live in that primitive mindset where
yeah.
it's mine and yours, and I'm going to kill you because that's mine and not yours.
Yeah,
and
China,
just,
you know, China never went out really to try to take over Japan, although Japan tried to take over China. How'd that work out for them?
Yeah, it's...
not really. I mean, look at the size of the two places. The point is that the ancient cultures had wisdom, you know. And I don't know if China still has wisdom. We'll see. You know, they're going in a different direction. I'm not.
Well,
but if you look
know,
at history, the aggressors have always been finally slammed, you know. I mean, it only works out for the short time.
Exactly. That's the way it works.
There is karma if you look at history.
There's karma everywhere, you know.
That's right.
Just getting out of bed, there's karma.
Right.
So be ready for it and make the right choice. And there's such a thing as what they call good karma, right? Which
right,
is making
right.
the right
choice.
Your great
choice. Bank account, as Carolyn Mason says. So where do people get a hold of the movie? You got a website?
I have a website. You can go to globalvisionfilm.com/now, N-O-W, as in we need to make new choices now. globalvisionfilm.com/now. And the name of the film, of course, is Metaphysia 2012. It is my personal vision quest, what Chief Reyna calls a cinematic vision quest, mm-hmm. my personal journey and exploration of the 2012 phenomenon, but much more, it's more about life and what's happening in this new century and the choices before us. And we definitely, we meet well over 45 different speakers, authors, teachers from the alternative and metaphysical fields along the journey, along that path. And it is a multidimensional film, I like to tell people. It's not just from that materialistic point of view. Like, here's this person, what does he have to say?
Mm-hmm.
And here's this person, what does she have to say? There's too much going on at many different levels, and it's all documented in the film, including encounters with these animal signs, including Native American teachers, healings and ceremonies. All of this is a part of my journey documented in the film, as well as an incredible breadth of information about 2012 consciousness, about new perspectives on what global warming may actually be about. You know, that's, again, for the audience to decide. Evolution and what may be happening right now on the planet, astrology and the new age of Aquarius, all of these things are covered in this one film because I just was drawn in to this magical journey, we'll put it. And I keep it real. You know, I like to tell people also, I didn't just dive in and believe everything I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I did my best to stay grounded, to discern my way through this path, and to try to validate the information that I was receiving from all of these people.
On the back of the DVD, you have a couple of quotes that I wanted to read. One is, "The spiritual forces are in our face, waiting for us to reconcile the damage we've done to each other."
Mm.
That was Chief Sonu Reyna. And
mm-hmm.
then Diane Williams of the United Nations says, "If we don't have a paradigm shift soon, we'll find that we don't have much time." That's
right.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah, I tend to be, you know, I come from that point of view where there's like fireworks going off in my shoes. You know, I feel
mm-hmm.
a very strong urgency right now to do these kinds of talks and share this with the world. You know, it's one thing to have people over for coffee or tea and have
mm-hmm.
these kinds of talks, and that's important. But I'm more interested right now in doing what you're doing, which is reaching a lot of people who may be unaware of what's happening, and giving them options and opportunities to make a greater choice at this time. And that's much more important to me because we're all living on the same planet together, and we all have things about our own lives that we love. We want to continue
mm-hmm.
living, and we would like to do it on a peaceful, clean, harmonious planet to the degree that we can. And my concern is that if we don't take action together, those of us who are making a conscious choice, that we're going to have to deal with some of the consequences that a lot of the rest of humanity is creating right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like we have to do that. I feel like we have an opportunity to make great strides by working together and reaching people who are unaware. And so that's my greatest hope for this film, is that it does get out and circulate around the world and inspire people to look deeper and make new choices and then find your radio show and listen in.
Yeah, well, there's Eva has her radio show too, Infinite Consciousness. There's quite a few.
I was just on with Eva actually the other
right,
day.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And I hear that you might be coming to Atlanta, and if you do, I'd certainly like you to to meet you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. Let's have a Metaphysia party in Atlanta.
That's right. Well, we have a lot of people here that are interested in what you're talking about.
Well, the most fun I have is not just like is conversations like this. I love this,
mm-hmm.
but also getting together. It's an incredible thrill for me to get together in a room of like 20, 15, 20 people
mm-hmm.
and watch Metaphysia 2012 in the
yeah.
room with them. Because I've seen the film hundreds of times. You know, I
mm-hmm.
could probably dictate to you the
right.
entire film right now. We won't do that, but I could. But what's interesting to me, and it's fascinating, every time I sit in a room with people and watch
mm-hmm.
my own movie, I actually am in their consciousness, not my own. I'm literally
mm-hmm.
like taken over by the group in the room.
Right.
And how I can see how they're watching my film.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the film from their perspective as we're going through the story.
Right.
And that's what's remarkable. I've already seen the film many, many times.
Right.
You would think
right.
it would be dull after a while. How many times can you watch it?
Right.
But I actually sit in a room with people and watch it as they're mm-hmm. watching it because their group consciousness is what I'm sharing in. And
yeah.
It's just remarkable. I love it. It feels so good to go through
mm-hmm.
the journey with people. And then after the film is over, what happens 9 out of 10 times is that there becomes this huge dialogue between everybody in the
mm-hmm.
room for a good hour where people just start sharing what you shared, their own personal
right.
experiences,
yeah.
and you learn, wow, this is something that really is happening planetary-wide.
Yeah. Well, next week I'm interviewing Christine Page. Dr. Page has a book, 2012.
And I met Christine Page when I filmed Metaphysia.
Right. I think that you ought to get together with Christine and Lynn Taggart and some of the, maybe the person that wrote The Choice, and do some education. Do some education, you know.
I would love to. Christine was head of iSEEM, the
right.
Subtle Energy
yeah.
Medicine Group, and I actually filmed there. That's where I met Eva.
Mm-hmm.
I filmed there in the early stages of the film when I was exploring the initial phases of Metaphysia.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she was just a fantastic person, very, very kind to me, very open.
She's a lovely person to interview.
Really, really good. And I bought her book, too, the 2012 book, and I love it.
Right. And I interviewed a guy from England who wrote a book called 2012 Catastrophe or Awakening. And he does a very good job of bringing in all these different aspects that we were talking about, because it, for some it is a catastrophe, and for others it is an awakening.
Mm.
And so at the individual level, you get to decide which way you're going to go.
And you have to decide.
It's interesting, yeah, yeah.
And, I talked about this with Eva on her radio show. I said, you know, I admit that making the decision to listen, to do what you did, for example, and leave your old job and career behind and follow the new
mm-hmm.
path that you're being called to, that's not an easy decision. I admit that that is not, it's not
yeah.
like I'm out here saying, you just got to do it. Just drop
right.
everything and go. It's a crisis, and
mm-hmm.
I don't blame anyone for taking time to figure out how to deal with it. It's difficult,
yeah.
and you do go through changes, and that's why there is this kind of dramatized struggle on the planet, because people are resisting
yeah.
it. But at the same time, you know, I joke with some of my friends, your own birth is a struggle, you know?
Yeah.
Just being born is a struggle. And there's an incredible,
mm-hmm.
beautiful benefit to it when you accept it, when you simply
yeah.
accept that you are born and that you have an opportunity to live, to be alive, and to do something consciously with your life. Or you can resist that, and many people
mm-hmm.
do. Atheism is a great resistance to being born.
Right.
Where does that get them? Where is that taking them?
Kind of a dead end, if you think about it.
that's all they're creating. But the wisdom,
right.
you don't have to believe in some entity to look at that
mm-hmm.
choice and say, okay, you don't believe in anything, that's fine,
mm-hmm.
but you're born.
Right.
Why would you continue to choose a path in life that's constantly
right.
going to depress you? You're already born.
Yeah.
You might as well make the best of your opportunity as a born being. But, you know, you'll get that philosophy. People will spin it and say, well, let's party then, like it's 1999
right.
because we're all going to die. That's not really what I mean either. But
yeah.
the point is we have to accept things, and I think that will help people during this time period, is to accept that there really is something going on and you really are being called to change and live more consciously. And if you can accept that much, then the struggle will diminish that much more.
Right. Well, we're at the end of our hour. We've been interviewing Sean Fisher, a filmmaker who has Metaphysia 2012, Are You Being Shifted?, which is a fabulous journey and one that I recommend everybody go to his website and see. That's www.metaphysica2012.com. Next week, we have Christine Page, who's actually one of the people he interviewed on her book 2012 in the Galactic Center. Then on the 13th, Ivan Rader's Health, It's All About Consciousness. On the 20th, Dr. Daniel Benor is back, Healing Research, Volume 3. And on the 27th, The Deja Vu Enigma, A Journey Through the Anomalies of Mind, Memory, and Time. Dr. Brad Gould is doing his lecture at Millennium Healthcare on electromagnetic problems on the 11th at 7:30. And then we have our monthly Noetic Science meeting on the 18th. Paul Esch will be back discussing the latest in bioenergetic medicine, again at 7:30 in the Dunwoody office. Well, thank you very much. And, Sean, thank you for joining us at short notice. I really appreciate it.
I have to catch my breath. I had no idea you had that much going on coming up.
Oh, yeah, we have all sorts of stuff.
Exciting. Thank you very much for having me on today. This was a lot of fun.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is Temple of Health Radio Show. Please have a great week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.